Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid,
ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
It is a tremendous joy and honor to welcome to the program a person you've probably heard before, Flicka Ron. She is an internationally known vocalist. She's a composer, a sound healer, and a best-selling author. She's also been listening to the show for a long time, and I consider her a dear friend. She got me through living hell 2 years ago. Things are really crazy. Flicka, welcome to the show. Back to the show, actually.
Thank you, Ryan. It is just a wonderful to be here with you, and thank you for inviting me to talk about what I love, and that's music.
Welcome.
And healing.
Excellent. You can learn more about Flicka by going to our website at flickaron.com. And of course, we're going to post a link. Flicka, based on everything you've come to know about the power of sound, the power of music, is there a certain frequency or a certain megahertz sound frequency that is being played throughout various music, throughout various media, that invokes a negative reaction? And is there one that necessarily invokes a positive reaction? Because I'm seeing some things where apparently if the frequency is at a lower bit, like a slightly lower level, it kind of has a catastrophic negative effect on people. And if it's tweaked in a slightly different direction, it has a positive impact. I was wondering if there's any validity to that.
Yes, let me explain that. Thanks for bringing that up. There's a certain amount of confusion around that. It is a way of what is detrimental to the energetic body and also your mind is a way of tuning, which you've heard the 440 tuning. Mm-hmm. So that is a way of tuning, which is a little bit elevated up, which then causes a certain amount of stress and anxiety as people hear all of the music that is tuned to 440 hertz for the A. If you've ever been to a symphony orchestra, you know that at the beginning, the oboe plays a note and then everybody in the orchestra tunes off of that note. And what he is playing is an A at 440 hertz. And then everybody tunes off of that note. But sadly, that was changed right during World War II and afterwards by the German propaganda master Goebbels, who wanted to create a feeling of unease in the population. They're easier to control or to sway to what they want. You know, fear is a great motivator. So that's what they did. And then it was accepted in the 1950s by the American Federation of Musicians. So all orchestras throughout the world are tuned to this higher, it's a higher expression of the note A, just a few cents above it. Now, what was before World War II and was popular with Verdi and with many of the French Romantic composers was tuning A at 432 hertz, which was just a little bit lower. Interestingly enough, when music is tuned to 432 hertz for the A, that it corresponds to the sacred geometry within your own body. So it has a great affinity to bring calm and peace and coherence to your energetic system if you are tuned to 432 hertz. all of my music, every bit of it is tuned to 432 Hertz A. And I find that people respond, they say, oh, it's so relaxing. I could just feel peaceful when I listen to your music. You can find a lot of examples on YouTube that which play the same piece of music tuned to 440 Hertz and then tuned to 432 Hertz. So that may be what you are asking me about.
Yes. And also I just want to say, as you know, even if I didn't know who you are, I've listened to your music and it is beautiful. It is something that especially if you're very sensitive, you feel. It's just like it's like a beautiful it's a rush, I'd say. It's so peaceful and soothing. How does a person tell if they're listening to something at 432 or 440? Is there any way you can tell? Are you just generally gonna have an ease if you listen to something?
Well, yeah, I would say a lot of it is subjective. Unless you have a tuning fork or tuning systems, there are some apps that you can get that will be able to designate if you're listening to music at 432 or 440. But can I hear it? I mean, it's just only my subjective realization or effect that I say, oh, that, you know, that there's something off with that music.
Okay. And when you listen to something at any particular vibration, is that necessarily just impacting human beings? Are human beings only able to attune to something at a certain frequency and that affects them? Like, could that frequency of 440 be better for animals or certain species of animals? Does every single living species on Earth basically attune to their own music frequency, or is that something that is a universal frequency?
Well, because I believe that sacred geometry is reflected in all living things, animals included. Certainly the trees and the flowers and the universe and the star systems and everything aligns with that sacred geometry template, which we know about, the spiral. That music that is tuned to 440 Hertz will not align. So, music at 432 Hertz will be beneficial for all living things, your kitties and your dogs included. So I've heard of people playing 432 music in rescue shelters for dogs, and the barking dissipates or quiets down a lot. They just feel more calm.
Fascinating. What are types of media that you can be consuming? Is it all mainstream media out there, all mainstream TV, radio shows, things on YouTube that are all aligned to that certain frequency of the 440? Or is 432 something that's pretty accessible to find if you have to look for it? I'm just curious because some people may be looking for something more peaceful, or maybe looking for even things like the chakra balancing, or maybe looking for other things where they listen to a metronome or an alpha brainwave frequency, yet they may be getting at 440. What are some of the best ways to seek out the 432?
You can find it on YouTube. It's easily found on YouTube. You just put in music tuned to 432 Hertz and a lot of things will come up for you. And there are also apps that you can run your own favorite music through and it will tune it down to 432 Hertz.
Okay.
A lot of what we see on I don't, honestly, Ryan, I do not listen to TV anymore. It just makes me crazy. There's something that comes through the sound that is just so, I feel ill at ease. I feel almost physically ill. So, and this is what is coming at us now. And if you don't mind, I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Please.
Okay. So I've been thinking a lot about how music and sound has impacted us during the last 2 years, and as you know, we all know what we've been through. And the fact is as I kind of look at it from a real objective viewpoint, I see that we have been put under the same torture techniques, and I don't use that word lightly, that has been used by the CIA and MK Ultra, the Monarch programming.
Jeez. Is that when you said torture, is that something that is just something that's coming out for all? Is that coming out in all mass media that's being consumed? Is that something that's consumed and it's emitting through all sound?
Well, let me explain that a little bit more as yeah. I've kind of gone through this in my own mind. Is that because I've been aware of how the music industry has been, let's say, turned. It's gone from a healthy, you know, wonderful music that brings us all closer, that improves our mental attitude and health, to something that is very detrimental and dangerous. So in doing that, I was looking at some of the information on the music industry now, and I started digging in and found that some of the techniques that have been used on us during the whole pandemic, the lockdowns, the masking, the fear mongering, all of that were the same techniques that are used in some of these black psyop operations to break down a population of people.
So how are they doing this? How are they getting this the frequency out?
Well, it's you turn on your television, Ryan, and listen to what you hear on popular music. It is full of very discordant harmonies, words that carry energy, and we know that words carry energy, and what the lyrics that are being used now are demeaning and harmful. So don't think that it's innocent just by hearing a word that you say, oh, you shouldn't be using that word. No, that word carries energy, and it could really be hurtful. So this is what I see happening now, and I'm extremely concerned. And so that's why I'm even more dedicated to trying to get my music across to people, because my music heals and the other breaks down. If people are thrown into fear constantly, the mind does something like it downshifts into the reptilian brain, because it's seeking safety. Critical thinking goes out the window. So people who are constantly barraged by this music and the fear that comes with it, they are losing their ability to be for rational thought.
Yeah, very fascinating. You brought that up, and something just came to mind is one of the reasons why I choose not to eat meat is because I don't want to consume anything where an animal has experienced. Well, first of all, I don't want to support any kind of suffering from an animal, but the animal, that fear that experiences, I feel that fear becomes embedded in the flesh. And people consume that. And then I also think about people who get tattoos. Maybe they get tattoos that are like negative, and that negative energy becomes embedded in who they are. And then I think about the experiments that were done, I forget the Hashimoto or something. He did experiments where he would say something positive and say something negative and look at water under a microscope and notice that there were distinct changes from positive and negative. So because we're 7% water and we're hearing some positive, some negative things, do you think that these negative things that are happening, this negative music, the negative media that would be coming out, is ultimately transforming people, transforming their DNA to a degree, because it's imprinting or embedding in them or putting the negative messaging in them at the cell level?
I absolutely agree with you 100%. It's a Dr. Masaru Emoto. And he did, as you stated, did these experiments by putting symbols, just symbols, on water. And then he looked at the before and the after, if there was a symbol of love or even the word love, that the water would be more coherent and even more intricately designed. And the opposite was true. It was more discordant shapes, not very coherent. If the word was, and I won't even say it, but people can use their imagination. But yes, I honestly am beginning to see everything is connected at the energetic level. There really is no matter. It's all energetic. And so music, words, thoughts, the emotions that you would pick up from me that had been traumatized, absolutely. It would influence your body as well. So yeah, I think we are in a totally new world here. And what I see as transhumanism means that people are not human anymore. And that just breaks my heart, because people are losing contact with their hearts. Nice. Because they're not able to critically think themselves out of this society based on fear and control.
And do you think that is there a point where certain people can no longer be rehabilitated? Can you get to a point where if you've experienced too much of this negative frequency, if you've consumed too much, or you've been in that place for so long, can you permanently lose your ability to think critically and kind of step out of it and step into a higher place?
Well, let me just present this to you. So we know that children who have been abused in any way, and you can just imagine, they go through what they call fragment. So their brain fragments, and they come up with alternate realities. And that is the beginning of the schizophrenic. And the brain does that to protect itself, to find a safe place. So what is happening now is it is a form of abuse and trauma that's happening to people. And they are fragmenting and they are separating. That is what the mass formation psychosis is to accept that this is happening to them or their loved ones. They cannot handle it. They'd rather just stay dead inside. So is there a way out? I think if people start to recognize what has happened to them and say, I'm going to fight my way out of this. I'm going to connect to my head and my heart. I'll do it no matter what, whatever it takes.
Okay. And that's love your answer. And people on the path, and say, for example, people listening right now say, okay, Flicka, well, let's take some action right away. And are there any types of musical instruments that people can play? Are there any certain kind of notes they can be playing, which will kind of put them on a path of listening to experiencing the full healing sounds of music? Because sometimes, I guess, if you're looking at certain types of music, obviously it's negative, but are there certain instruments they could be playing which will kind of put you on a path which will allow the music to begin to heal you, or at least access the more beautiful celestial elements of the music?
Well, I do know that although there's a lot of value in recorded music, and obviously my music is recorded and people listen through their earphones, but that is compressed. Any music that's recorded is digitally compressed. So you're not getting the whole spectrum or the banquet of all of the overtones, the harmonics. And so live music is perhaps the most healing music. And classical music is always wonderful and beautiful. And if someone really wants to, they could certainly take up an instrument, so, you know, to go play the piano or a guitar, to explore that world themselves in a live music environment in which they are playing it themselves, tuned to 432, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, listening to beautiful, calm music will do, because the brain is so plastic, we know that we can restructure some of the neural pathways. So if someone through these 2-3 years that we've gone through of like being hyper alert and afraid and concerned and can't see anybody, you got a mask up and all of that, we want to return to a place of, you know, loving ourselves and our neighbors, and to listen to music that is calm, because you can restructure the brain out of a reactive state into a reflective state.
Okay. That's awesome.
So those two pathways. Yeah. And then singing. Oh my gosh. You know, yeah. Sing every day. Just.
I wish I could, Flicka, but if I sing, I cause people to just cry. I don't have the beautiful voice that you do.
I don't believe that, Ronnie. I don't believe that at all.
Give me a note. Try me. I will sing it. And my son told me. My son.
Can you match that? You're right. You can't. Okay.
My son tells me, he said, Daddy, don't sing along. Mommy, you can sing. Daddy, you can't sing.
All right. Well, you can just be the audience and enjoy it. How's that?
I can clap.
Yeah. You can clap.
Sometimes I'm a huge fan of classic rock. I love classic rock. I love Joe Satriani. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some things I listen to. They probably don't have that 432 frequency. And some people, you know, they listen to music and, it transports them back into a time, or it makes them remember a point in their life where they were very happy. So what is the balance between listening to music where it triggers you into a state when you felt really great, or it's just, you know, good music, compared to, I'm listening to music that's making me feel good. It's triggered me to a positive state, but it's still at a different frequency. Do those two kind of negate themselves if you listen to music that makes you feel good and you know it's really good? So how does it work that you can listen to music that makes you feel good, but it's at 440?
You know, if you love it, then that's going to trump everything. You love that music, you feel good, then doggone it, listen to it and enjoy it and sing along in your little croaky voice. It would be for you. I'm not so much a purist that I don't, you know, say if it, I mean, you know, there have been studies done with old folks home when they play music from the time when they were young. And they begin to have more energy. Their eyes brighten up. So they are transported back to a time when they were vital. So music is powerful, powerful instrument to in our healing journey for everybody.
Hey, thank you for sharing that. And I love your book. I really learned a lot from it. And I was wondering, can you please share with the audience three or four lessons that you've learned or findings that you've discovered over the course of your life, which really prove to you that music is having a powerful impact, not only on the physical body and mental health, but is also kind of pushing you or challenging your spirit to grow?
Wow. Well, what came to mind when you first said that was I had an incredible experience after my uncle's funeral when I lived in Philadelphia. And I was driving back from the funeral having, great loss. I loved him very much. And I was on the Connecticut Turnpike, actually. And I was playing Pachelbel's Canon. And many of your listeners know that. It's an extremely exquisite piece of music. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was wrapped in light and it was spinning, and I had to pull off the road because I was just sobbing. It was so beautiful. I wanted to stay there forever. And I realized, I was just in the experience at the time. And I don't know how long it lasted, Ryan. You know, I went into no time, but I was taken up into the place where music lives, and it was bliss for me.
So it's kind of like an out of body experience, or were you just kind of pausing?
It was out of body. I mean, my body was there, but I was in this vortex, spinning light vortex with music. And I realized later that the portal for me was music. That is my, for others, it's different, I'm sure. Maybe a visual artist, it's different. But for me, an auditory artist, it was music that led to my higher expression of myself. And that's, I was certainly involved long before that. Ever since I've been a little girl, I've been, you know, just clawing my way deeper and deeper into this world that I loved. But it was just an extraordinary experience. So I still get teary thinking about, oh, that was like 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
And of course, then you start seeing how music actually has a direct impact on healing. I thought it was really fascinating because, again, listening to your music, it feels very soothing. I've also watched you sing. So beautiful. You do it. I mean, of course, I have the love and respect for you. But that aside, I mean, if I listen to that, it just has a certain frequency about it. What other types of music do you find really has an impact on people's mental health? And is there anything that you've seen firsthand how music directly impacts the cells on a cellular level?
Okay, two things come to mind. Yeah. Right? One is I have clients, as you know, and many of them say my mind is just a jumble. I can't make any sense out of it, and I have suggested that they listen to classical music, specifically from the Baroque period. That's Bach and Handel. Mozart is a little bit later, and that's good for other things. But to reform the structure in the brain, these Baroque composers, Vivaldi, have an incredible influence on just how the brain talks to itself or how it shares information. And they came back and said, yes, I felt calmer, or I could think clearer after listening, not just once. I mean, it has to be over a certain period of time. I would say a month, you know, every day listening to some Bach, that it will restructure the brain somewhat. So what was the other, what did you ask? How I use music to...
If you use it to heal. I was going to go to another question, which was,
yeah,
you know, you and I and some other people, we've all, you know, experienced Mother Ayahuasca.
Yes, I remember now. Okay, Mother Ayahuasca. There is nothing that I can compare any three-dimensional experience to. Is that I saw it. She showed me, and I refer to it as a she because it's a female energy, extremely strong, powerful female energy. If you talk to the shaman in that help people through this process. But I specifically went to the Amazon to ask her, what am I supposed to do, and how can I do that? I knew that I was here as some sort of an ambassador for music. And my goal was to present the clearest, most accessible route to that information through music. And she said, you know, that she wanted, first of all, I experienced the great love that came with the journey for me, although it sometimes very painful and hard.
Those points, right?
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
But on the other side is so much freedom and love. Just you can't describe it. That to take that experience and translate that into sound for, as she put it, the Western ear. So the shaman in South America have these songs, which they call the Icaros, which are sacred songs. And they channel that energy of Mother Ayahuasca through that sound that you hear them singing. It's like they've opened a portal in themselves, and she comes through and sings with their body to the people who are there wanting to become more pure, more light filled. And so that was my challenge. And of course I accepted it. And then she also told me to write a book. So I said, oh, I did all of that.
But I'm glad you wrote the book. And look, it's just the moment I've always felt that you were a warrior. You just have this light warrior, like metaphysical badass. Come across a couple other people that are like that. And
yeah,
I have a tendency to bring this up a lot. So I'll bring it up again, try to do it in a different way. But I always see that the forces of evil, the forces of control, they seem to always present themselves like they have the upper hand. Like they seem to be in cahoots with some hyper, very intelligent creature not of this world, or with entities not of this world that seem to be using everything to their advantage. And I wonder, is there other things that people who are standing with the light, do we have access to the antithesis of those evil creatures? Do we have access to a very strong intelligence to push back on equal measure? Because if they want to control, they want to destroy, and we want to create, we want to bring peace, how do we gain the upper hand, or how do we gain equal footing in that battle? Because it seems that the odds are very much against the forces of light when you consider what the forces of darkness are putting out. If they're blasting everyone with 440, if they're triggering everyone in a state of fear, perpetual fear, and people are not able to access critical thinking, well, to wake up individuals, it seems to be a one-on-one basis. And then those individuals, not only do they have to be awake, but they have to be strong, and they have to be very strong. And like, we need, you know, a lot more flickerons in our world. Mm-hmm. So what is your perspective on that?
Oh, I've thought the same thing, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I really have. Thank you for seeing me as a warrior. I mean, I certainly don't. I don't project that. I don't say it, but I feel like that. And if I'm a music warrior, then that's who I am. And I do feel, as I experienced in that that out of body experience, there is nothing stronger than the light. Nothing. And with that comes this unbelievable amount of love. So having experienced that, I know that nothing can stand in the way of that, and nothing has power over that. And then you look at creation, Ryan, and you see that everything grows because it's nurtured and it's supported by sunlight and water, and it's all beauty is nurturing. So how can, you know, that is what is our world is made of that. If you look closely and you become sensitive to that, that these forces of evil, there's no way they can stand against that. That no way they can stand against beauty or what I see out my window right now, which is beautiful trees. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our world. It's, you look at it and you say, oh, I believe that this will persist, that we will vanquish that which seems to want to take us over. We will.
I hope
so. We got to stand together. We got to tell each other, I love you. I love you. I see you. And we keep doing that with everyone, like what I did down in Mexico. I mean, those kids don't know the depth of what they're facing. I mean, they're just like 23, 24-year-olds. And what I did is I kept saying, you're worthy. You have something to contribute. And focusing on that. And every one of them were changed as they changed me. So every day, That's kind of what I do when I go to the grocery store. Well, this is an opportunity to really see the light in someone. And the more we see that in each other, the more the darkness, you take a candle into a room. I mean, we all know the analogy, and the darkness goes away.
Flicka Ron, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, Flicka is best-selling author. She's a powerful teacher. Definitely one of my teachers for sure. More about Flicka by going to our website at flickaron.com. You can also go to another website called gakaros.com. We will post links to both, and I will also post a link to Flicka singing because it's absolutely beautiful, as well as a link to her music. Flicka, thank you so much. I love you dearly, and I honor you to being with us today. Thank you.
I love you too, Ryan. Thank you, honey.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks as always to our virtues, Miss Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. And till the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.